produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
This program is brought to you by River of Heaven Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-929-477-2324. Again, that's 1-929-477-2324.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Whosoever Group Radio Show. I'm your host, Sam, a.k.a. The Happy Crow. How's everybody doing today? Don't forget, everyone, please check out the website, www.whosoevergroup.com, facebook.com/whosoevergroup, and Twitter, @whosoevergroup. Now that that's out of the way, let's get into our topic today. Today, we're asking a question. The question is, what did you think would happen? So this is a little bit loaded, so you'll see where we're going in a second. Today we're going to use the chapter Matthew 7, 21 through 23. This is Jesus talking. In this he says, "Not everyone who says to me," I'm reading from ESV by the way, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father," I promise you I can talk, on that day will say to me, "Lord, Lord, didn't we not prophesy in your name? And cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And I will declare to him, saying, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of lawlessness." That's kind of heavy. So it seems as though that the people who are going in, this is the time of judgment at this point. Jesus in this time is talking about like this final judgment. It seems that they are going in front of Christ and saying, "Okay, I'm ready. I'm going in. I know everything's all honky dory." Then that doesn't seem to be the case, and they definitely were not expecting the answer that they received. So why do you think that is? That's a tough question. It seems like the idea of Christianity is not a reflection of what God had originally intended at all. And we're going to look at the current state of the world and what that means in addition to that. I'm going to be using America for my examples because that's where I live, so I can only speak to what I know. Number one, let's start looking at the home. Everything that happens always starts from the home. In the 60s and 70s, there started this quote-unquote free love movement. And in that free love movement, they kind of normalize a lot of different things. They normalize promiscuity. They normalized this, I can have three wives. I can have this. It's okay to cheat on my wife. It's okay to do this. It's okay to do that. It all started with this, "Well, I guess this is fine because it's all love." Especially the phrase back then, "It's all love, man. It's all good." Well, that was not at all what God wanted. That was the opposite of love that God wants for our families. Love is not just the acceptance of everything. today we have that thought that accepting everything is somehow love. Well, if you love me, you're going to accept every bad thing that I do. That's not how that works. I can love you and not accept your behavior and not accept the things that you're choosing to do, or I can even say what you're choosing to do is flat out wrong. That's love, to be able to tell someone they disagree but still love them in what they're doing wrong. And in this modern version of love that's not true, there's no real morals or boundaries because it's all relative. When I say relative, I'm saying that you have to have a set of rules. You have to have things that are concrete, because if nothing's concrete, everything is so flexible that you can never have a real idea of what is true, because then truth in and of itself becomes a relative term. Without truth, there's nothing. There's just your opinion, and whatever your opinion is going to be is somehow your truth. There's no such thing as your truth or my truth. There is only truth. So let's keep going on with this. God, he's a God of absolutes. He says, this is right, this is wrong. That's what it is. This idea has become so anti what we have in society. For you to say that you deal in absolutes, like this is right, this is wrong. They say, well, you're judging me. Well, yes, of course you're judging. That's the whole point of judgment. And then people a lot of times bring it back and say, well, as a Christian, you're not supposed to judge. Doesn't the Bible say judge not? Okay, let's finish that verse out. The Bible says, judge not, lest ye be judged, for in the same measure of which you judge, it'll be judged unto you. What does that mean? Whatever you're going to dish out, you better be following it yourself. It doesn't say not to judge. It says, whatever you're doing, whatever you're saying, make sure you are doing the same also. Now, that's a high standard. But then also, some people take that to the extreme and from the Christian realm and turn that judgment into, like, hatred. There's a church here in America that I love the people, can't stand their actions. They go out and quote-unquote protest. It's not even protest. To me, it's disgusting what they do. But these people, they don't have any love. They're saying, they're using the word repent, which means to change your way of thinking, but they're not actually doing what God wants. They're not meeting them where they're at and saying, okay, I disagree with you, but I love you. They're saying, no, I hate you because of who you are and all this. No, no, no. That's not love either. We have to find that middle ground. A lot of times we go to the extremes on both sides, and that's not how God intended it at all. And because we have changed love to be this wishy-washy thing, we've gotten to the point in society where we say, I love my wife, and I also love cheeseburgers. Wait a second. That word doesn't mean that word can't mean the same thing between those two statements. I love my wife, who is a person, and I love cheeseburgers, which is a food. We've cheapened that word in our society. Let's see what 1 John 4:7-9 says. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And whoever loves God is born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love, who does not love, does not know God, because God is love. In this love, God was made manifest among us, and God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. We have changed the definition of love. Now, we just said God is love into our desire for a food. I'm not condemning anyone who says it, because I've said it too. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is we have to get back to the understanding of what love really is. We can't cheapen it in all these different things, saying we love this, we love that. We love each other and we love God. And we have to remember, if God is love, we have to be showing God in every one of our actions. So in modern society, we have that so twisted. So if we're saying we love these things, well, God can't contradict himself. That wouldn't make sense. So we can't accept all these different sins and saying, okay, well, this is love. No, that's sin. Because if God is love, God can't accept sin. But you're saying it's love, but I'm saying God is love, so God can't accept the sin because then he'll be rejecting himself. Yes, I know I just made a circular logic argument, but please follow. He loves the sinner, but he doesn't condone what that sin is. Because then God will once again be denying himself. Today's society, we got sex with no attachments. So it's just, hey, I'm gonna make love to you, 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 and you. That's not love, that's lust. We have homosexuality running rampant. We have apathy to real love. And that's destroyed the family unit. Because we don't understand what real love is. We can't love each other. So then the families are just falling apart left and right. And in America, we have parades that celebrate all these different things. Well, what did you think would happen when all the morals in society fall apart? We left love. We've left God. So that's just, now that's just the family unit. Let's look into the educational system. In the educational system today, we've taken God out of the public school realm to the extent that you can't really mention God in a non-academic way without having people sign more consent forms. There was a preacher recently who just went to a school and he got in trouble. I don't know this preacher's message, and I'm not saying he was preaching the right or wrong thing, because I have no idea. But let's take a step back from that and look at the entire situation. There are students trying to sue the school because they were forced to listen to a preacher. Now, you can say that, well, no one should be forced to listen. To an extent, I can see your point. Because, no, to choose God is exactly that, a choice. And you don't want to be denied that choice. But while you're in the school system, are you not taught everything else that is anti-God? Evolution, and this relativism, this moral relativism, that nothing is absolute. Is that not a lifestyle? Is that not all the things that you're saying? It's just another religion, just not with no God in the head. So you have that back and forth that says, I don't want this in my education, but you're accepting everything else. Pick a side. So you're saying that they wanted these kids to sign consent forms and have all this. You want to sign a consent form? Is God that dangerous? Seriously, is God that dangerous to you? Yes, he is. You know why he's dangerous? Because he's going to expose you. He's going to expose not just you, but the world. He exposes the sin in the world and everything else. Because when your sin gets exposed, you're vulnerable. No one wants to live in a state of vulnerability, for the most part, because it's scary. You have to say, okay, I everything of who I am is laid out on the table, and I can't, and there's nothing. I'm not safe. That's scary. But that's kind of where God wants us to be. Because when we're vulnerable with him, if he is God, and we have to assume that he is perfect, we don't have to assume, I should say. That's a poor term. Let me rephrase that. We know that he is perfect, and for the sake of argument, if you don't know that, let's assume it. There we go. That sounds a little better. We have to accept that back and forth, that, okay, I'm exposed, but I trust you. I'm exposed, but I trust you. And when other people see our sin, that's scary too, because then you're, okay, you're going to know who I am. Yeah, we are. But that's why Jesus died, to forgive us. So the children are going to school and being taught anything other than anything with a biblical foundation is more or less foolish. We have a family unit that's been destroyed. We have a false version of love. And And in school, you're being taught that anything other than a negative version of God is, or negative version, especially Christianity, is just utter foolishness. How can we live that way as a society and then assume that God's going to say, you know what? Yeah, come on in. Our Christianity is our choice, every individual person's individual choice. But understand that we have responsibility as a collective to show true Christianity. Because if you did not show it, if you did not show what God wants from us, how are you going to expect anyone else to follow the correct way when you can't do it yourself? How are you going to expect anyone else to show, to understand who God is if we're not even holding ourselves to any form of standards? Can God use us even when we're in this wrong thinking? Absolutely. God can use anything. Look at Joseph. What happened to Joseph after he was in Egypt for how long? And his brothers came. He said, what you intended for evil, God used for good. No matter what your intentions are, God's going to get his will done either way. But I'd rather be working with him than fighting against him. And let's look at the last one, the political aspect of it. Like, once again, I'm referencing America in all these examples. America has like a major hyperpolarization issue that both sides are looking to their political leaders for the answer. Newsflash, all your political leaders, they're all human. One of my famous phrases I like saying, if anyone who knows me personally has heard me say it a million times, people suck, that's why we need Jesus. Flat out. We all suck. Just because you are in some position of leadership doesn't mean anything. Your political leadership is just that, political. It has nothing to do with eternity. Can you affect other people's eternity? Absolutely, because your choices, other people are watching. Then they might follow. That's why it's important for us to always be godly people. And let me tell you, on both sides of the aisle, I have not seen many of any actual biblical good Christian men or women. And you can say, well, this person's done this good. Yes, God can use them. I'm not saying God's not going to use these people. But are any of them actually truly following God? Or is it lip service? How do you know? Watch their lives. Whatever their lives are, they're just going to walk out whatever their heart is. We keep trying to scheme and plan all these different things politically, and we look at all the pieces on the chessboard and try to figure out how to do it. It's all for nothing, really. This is a hard issue. You want to change the world? You want to change your country? Work on your heart, between you and God, and surrender your heart, and then work with other people to help their hearts. And it's not going to be you, it's going to be God through you. So we're going to pray a little bit, and then I'm going to read to you something that I wrote. It's a theoretical letter from God to us. So let's pray first and talk to God about what he wants from us and what we need to do for him. Dear Lord, I just thank you for your love and your mercy. And Lord, as a person living in the world, I want to say I'm sorry for every part that I have played in not showing your name properly, in rejecting you by looking to political leaders, by letting the sins of the world and everything influence my life in some way, shape, or form. I want to say I'm sorry for just missing the mark on a daily basis and not being able to fulfill what you need. But I thank you for giving me chance after chance. I thank you for giving us every day a chance to live for you, even when we don't deserve it. Thank you for sending your son. And Lord, for anyone hearing my voice, Lord, if they do not know who you are, I ask, Lord, that you just grant them the understanding to know that you love them unconditionally. No matter how much they mess up, you're right there for them. And I pray, Lord, that we can all turn back to you in a way that we've never done before. Surrender in such a way that it changes the world and shines a light, Lord. And I pray for just our hearts to be open to you. In Jesus' name, amen. And now I'm going to read that poem to you, or not poem, the little short story, the letter I should say, and then we'll end, and I'll see you guys next time. Don't forget to check the website out, and don't forget to check out the Facebook and Twitter, whosoevergroup.com, Facebook/whosoevergroup, and Twitter at whosoevergroup. All right, this is called What Did You Think Would Happen? Lately, you have been asking me the same question over and over. You have asked me why this or that has happened, and what has become of this world. It pains me to see your blindness in all of this. I will now answer your question with a question of my own. What did you think was going to happen? You kicked me out of your children's education and made it a shameful thing to pray to me in their educational halls. You replaced teaching of me with a version of tolerance that in all reality is a rejection of me in camouflage. Of course, when your children come home, they will reject the idea of me when 6 hours of their day are being told that any idea of me is foolishness. You removed me from your families by placing yourselves first and ignored the structure of the family that I set up for you. Fornication and divorce run rampant with all those who call me their father. Your happiness, your desires now rule you. You have forgotten how to submit or be humble. And in this doing so, your children have been left spiritually empty. How can you fill up their cup when yours is empty? Your hearts are a barren wasteland, and you never search for the water of life. But you still wonder why you're so thirsty. And in that wonder, you will continue to fill that void inside, but come back feeling emptier and emptier. I love you, my children. It pains me to see you go around and around and are still hurting, but wonder why. Come back to me. I always was and always will be. Repent and see what I have in store for you. Don't look to teachers or politicians for the answer. Their power and influence is only temporary, and I have appointed many over you, some as a blessing and some as a consequence. Either way, all the power is mine to command, and I love you so much, but I am also justice. And if you reject me, I cannot receive you. All of eternity is waiting for you to be with me. So please come back. I don't want my last words to you to be this saddening question. What did you think would happen? Thank you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.